I would invite you to take your Bibles and turn with me to Matthew chapter 14. Very familiar story, reading verses 22 through 33. Matthew 14, verses 22 through 33. It's on page 849 in the Pew Bible. Immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone, but by this time the boat, battered by the waves, was far from the land, for the wind was against them. And early in the morning he came walking toward them on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified, saying, "It is a ghost!" And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat, started walking on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he noticed the strong wind, he became frightened. And beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and caught him, saying to him, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" When they got into the boat, the wind ceased. And those in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Some of you may have heard a story similar to this in the past. He had been walking on the beach for over 2 hours and had gathered 3 bags full of treasure. Sand dollars, conch shells, whelk shells, a few nearly as large as a football, large clam shells, and even a couple of starfish that had washed up on the shore. The tide had started back in. As he got back to the area where he had swam across where the river meets the ocean, he had swum there in order to get to the peninsula to look for treasures. And the water had gotten wider and wider as he had lost track of time. He tied up the plastic grocery bags and began the now 60-yard swim across the water, the bags actually floating on top of the water. After about 25 yards, a small wave washed over the tops of the bags, and you guessed it, they began to fill with water and started to sink. He held onto them tightly with one hand and stroked with the other and kicked even harder, trying to keep his head above water and save his treasures. The bags of treasure continued to get heavier as they filled with more water. And he was dragged down under the surface. He stroked hard, he kicked hard, just barely getting his head above water and moving a few more yards along. He went under another time, still holding tightly to the heavy bags, and surfaced about 5 more yards further along. This was very tiring, but his grip was ever tighter on his treasure bags. Still about 20 yards from the shallow water at the edge of the shore, he was pulled under a third time and tried to find the bottom of the riverbed to push off toward the shallows, still holding on to his treasure bags. But his feet found nothing but deeper and colder water. As he struggled to the surface, he realized if he kept holding on to those bags, he would drown. And was nearly drowning already. Reluctantly, he dropped the bags into the depths and swam for the shallows, barely having the strength left to make it there, finally calling to a man fishing nearby for help. The man came into the water about chest deep, reached out one hand, and upon getting a grasp on the other man's hand, he pulled hard and helped him to where he could stand and walk out of the rising water. Mary was hustling toward the edge of the water and told me I wasn't ever to go over there again. And I didn't go for a couple of days, at least until I bought a boogie board to help me get my shells back across. And I want to tell you, there were some beautiful shells. And I had at least 30 or 40 sand dollars in one of those bags that I had to let go. And I was sad. I really was. I was sad that I had lost such a good find. And Mary was fearful and probably just a tad perturbed. And so was I, though only for a short time. Yes, I almost drowned, or as a lot of folks around these parts say, almost drowned. But I almost drowned. Holding on to something that I thought was so important and wanted so badly, and that I'd spent hours collecting. And I almost drowned. In 1891, George W. Truett was the financial agent for Baylor University. And he was charged with the responsibility of going out and raising $92,000 for the school. He set out with B.H. Carroll, who was pastor of First Baptist Church in Waco, Texas, to raise the money from Texas Baptists. On one occasion, as they were sitting at a meeting, waiting for it to begin, a hard rain began to fall and very few people came out. You know how Baptists are. Dunking's okay, sprinkling, eh. Truett became disillusioned, and he wanted to adjourn the meeting and not take up a collection. But B.H. Carroll looked at him and said, "Never take counsel of your fears or of appearances. Of course, we will proceed." And they received one of the larger offerings for Baylor of any of the meetings that they held. Many of us perhaps need to hear the advice from B.H. Carroll. Things frighten us to the point of despair, illness, haunting fears of death. The uncertainties of life around us almost drown us in our own fears and discomforts. This happened to Peter. After the feeding of the 5,000 men, and by the way, we talk about the feeding of the 5,000, but the text says it was 5,000 men plus women and children. Greater miracle than we often think of. The disciples were crossing the Sea of Galilee at night. Jesus went up on the mountain to pray. As the boat got further and further out into the Sea of Galilee, a storm arose. The winds blew very hard against the boat. The waves were crashing. The disciples were fearful. And you know the story. After several hours, they look out and they see something on top of the water. And at first, they think it's a ghost. And once again, they are paralyzed by their fears. It was bad enough that the wind was blowing against them, that the waves were crashing against them. Now they have to deal with a ghost. And so they cried out, trembling in fear. Jesus calls out to them and says, "Do not be afraid. I'm the one that's out here." And Peter perceives that this just might be Jesus. He's still not completely sure that it's not a ghost because of what he says. He says, "If you really are Jesus, then tell me to come out there and I'll walk on the water and join you." And Jesus immediately calls Peter. Peter steps out and he starts taking a stroll across the water. Now, we don't know all that was in Peter's mind just then. Perhaps he was remembering the miraculous feeding that they had just witnessed the day before. Or maybe he was so caught up in the moment that he was treasuring, and so caught up in the fact that, hey guys, look at what I'm doing and you're not, that Peter began walking and looking around, enjoying the moment. But then suddenly he realized, this isn't normal. This isn't normal. Normal would be to sink. The wind was blowing against him, kind of like troubles sometimes batter against us. And he took his eyes off of Jesus, the true treasure. Doubt filled him, and he began to sink and was almost drowned in the moment. Almost drowned. You ever feel that way? Almost drowned? Whether it's holding on to the bags of treasures of seashells and sand dollars or other things that we treasure, and we hang on and we begin to sink in all the things going on around us and in our own thoughts, and we don't want to let go even when the fear comes. Because trust me, first time I went under, that's okay. Second time I went under, I got a little bit scared. And the third time, when I couldn't find the bottom, by the way, I later found out that the river channel there at Cherry Grove is about 25 to 30 feet deep. So had I found bottom, I probably wouldn't have found the surface. I was scared. And got to a point to where I decided that I needed to release that which was dragging me down. And I looked up and out and saw this fisherman I hadn't seen standing there before, fishing. And so what did Peter do? He starts to sink. He's almost drowned. And he decides to look up and out. And there he sees Jesus. And he calls for help. Sometimes we feel we are drowning. Sometimes it's because of the difficulties. Sometimes it's because we overemphasize the problem. The wind was a problem for Peter. But until he got all of that out of proportion, he was walking just fine with Jesus' help. Sometimes when we get things out of proportion and we allow our fears and the other things around us to batter us like the strong winds, to begin covering us like the waves, we feel like we're drowning. Peter became obsessed with walking and with the wind getting stronger, and he stopped concentrating on the one who made it possible for him to walk, Jesus. And when he looked away, he was overwhelmed. When we are nearly drowning, one of the first things we need to do is face our situation. We cannot defeat anything from which we run. In 1896, B.W. Spillman was elected as the first Baptist Sunday school missionary in the state of North Carolina. As he began this daunting task, the first thing that he did was go to the dictionary that was on a shelf in his office. He pulled it down, he opened it up, and crossed through the word failure in the dictionary. He refused to be drowned by other things that he faced. because he looked up and he looked out to that one who could help him, the Christ. When we are about to drown, as Peter was, and as I almost did, we need to let go of the things that we think are treasures and look up and out from ourselves and cry out for our aid from Jesus. There are some things we can do. And I don't believe we're simply to sit back and expect God to do everything for us. We have to do our part. But a part of what we do is also to reach out. To reach out to God to help us and to save us. And then to be like that fisherman that was standing there when I cried out for help. And to reach out for someone else who is in need and share with them the help that we experience. Leighton Ford, back in the 70s, said, "Belief is not faith without evidence, but commitment without reservation." I want to repeat that. Belief is not faith without evidence, but commitment without reservation. God has committed Himself to us. God did that in Jesus. But we are also to commit ourselves to God without reservation if we're to keep from drowning. So when you feel like the water and the waves are overcoming you, and you're going under and can't even find the bottom, look outside of yourself. Cry out for Christ's help. And when you do, and you let go of the other things that you treasure for that one who is the most treasured, then you'll find your way to the shore. You'll find your way to life. Don't drown, but live. May we pray? Oh Lord our God, we sometimes wonder how much more we can face. And we almost drown in the fears and the difficulties around us. Sometimes we almost drown because the things that we treasure the most and hold on to are not really treasures after all, but sometimes pull us under and we almost drown. Help us, like Peter, to keep our watch for You. To reach out and to not only seek Your help, but Lord, help us to take Your help so that we might find our way to the shore, and that in so doing we might even turn and with Your help look for someone else who is almost drowning and encourage them to the shore. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Our hymn of decision is 382. My faith looks up, and should we say, out to Thee. As we sing, our altar is open. It is open for any who would come to make a public profession of Jesus as Lord and Savior. It is open for any who would come and join with our fellowship here as a place and a people with whom to minister. It is open for any who would recommit themselves to life rather than drowning. Hymn number 382, My Faith Looks Up to Thee.